chapter 2. Thank you for being faithful. Amen. Got a great crowd for a Sunday night. Thank God we got a lot of our folks back feeling better and not sick. Still got a lot of folks still out sick, but praise the Lord. Amen. We're here. Like I said this morning, I believe I got a message for the church. I hope this will encourage you, and I hope this will help us. Now, there's some things that the first church had, and there's some things that the first church did that I think we could replicate tonight. Acts chapter 2, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word, if you're able, amen. You there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, God, for the choir. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that we know we got somebody there with us at all times, God. We know we're not alone. And God, I know, God, without a doubt, Lord, when we're going through hard times and the devil's trying to scare us, God, we know we got somebody on our side, Lord. God, I thank you for what you're doing. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in this church tonight. Help me, dear God, to bring this message in a way that you would be pleased, God. Challenge hearts right now, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage teaches that the first church has some things that we all need. Some things. Now, like we talked just a few weeks ago in Sunday school, I believe some of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight was for the first church. And they're not, maybe not necessarily for our church on this day and time, but I believe that it was for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. For when Jesus died on that cross, you got to understand something. This is just a little while after Jesus died on the cross. We know that the Pentecost has happened, and we understand it in the first part of Acts chapter 2. We find in verse 1 through verse 4, we find they had cloven tongues. We went speaking in other tongues. In verse 5 through verse 11, there was a crowd that had gathered. In verse 12 through verse 13, there was confusion. They thought that they were drunk. They thought that because they were speaking with new tongues and everybody was understanding in their language, they thought that this crowd had gone crazy and gotten drunk. But Peter basically clarified everything in chapter verse 14 through verse 21. Peter stand up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. Peter preaches a sermon to them, telling them that they're not drunk. This is God. The Bible goes on in verse 22 through verse 28. There was condemnation. It come from the sermon that Peter was preaching. In verse 37, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was conviction. That's when you know you're in a good church service, amen. When there's conviction in the church service. The Bible goes on in verse 38. Peter tells them, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. There was the command. And then there was conversions in verse 41. And they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In one day the church grew, gathering 3,000 members. That's what God did on that in Acts chapter 2. That's why things happened in Acts chapter 2 like they happened in Acts chapter 2. Jesus wanted a good start to the church. And Jesus, in that day, 3,000 people got saved. Wow. What would we do at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church if we had 3,000 converts in one Sunday? We'd go back to having an outdoor service for a while. Not because of COVID, but because we need somewhere to shout glory to God. Amen. But I want you to notice something. That was the first church was on fire. The first church was booming. The first church was excited. And we come to today's services. I think we could do better. Amen. I think we can do better than we've been doing. But I want to look at just a few things tonight that this first church did that you and I, we could replicate. Amen. And if we can replicate the first church, what they did, I'm telling you, God can start moving. And God, I want to say this right now. We just had revival. We had four folks saved during our revival, all under 20 years old. Praise God. That's more than some people seen saved in years and years and years. Hey, we're getting ready to have a baptizing. Every few months we have a baptizing. We've had people saved here on Sunday morning just a few weeks ago when I was preaching. God's blessing and God's doing a great work, but we can do better. We can do better. Number one, I want you to notice some things that the first church had that we need to replicate. Number one, they had Bible study. The Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. The apostles' doctrine, that was the teaching of the apostles. We need to know our Bible. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to understand, we need to study our Bible. Somebody was talking to me just a few weeks ago and talking to me today. They're getting ready to have an in-home Bible study or a small group Bible study here on Wednesday night. I don't have a problem with that. That word study right there comes from the Greek word. It means to make effort or to prompt or earnest, diligent, to be diligent, to endeavor, to labor, or to study. That same word is written in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In other words, let us study to enter into that rest. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, same word, give diligence to making your calling and election sure, for if you know these things, you shall never fall. We want to know how in the world we're going to make it in this world. We want to know how in the world we're going to make it. I'm telling you right now, you want to know how to make it, here it is right here. You can't, it ain't going to do you no good to quote Amazing Grace, you know that? I'm just telling you folks, it's the Word of God that's going to get us where we need to be. Same word is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for each other things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. We need some people who will take Bible study serious. When's the last time you had an in-home Bible study? I'm preaching to myself now. We need to have some in-home Bible studies. And I'm going to get into some other things, you know, as I'm preaching. But we have the Bible Institute. The Bible Institute is for people that you come in, we study the Bible, we break it down, we learn the Bible. And the opportunity's there for anybody that wants to come. We have Sunday school. Praise the Lord. We, if everybody here would have been in Sunday school this morning, how much better could it have been? I'm telling you, folks, you're not going to learn the Bible from when you come into preaching. Preaching is geared different, than Bible study. When you come to Sunday school, these teachers, they take it, they break it down verse by verse. They teach you what the Bible says. When I get up here and I'm preaching to you, most of the time I'm going so fast you can't even take notes. It's geared different. It's for different things. It's for preaching is for conviction, and preaching is for conversion, and preaching is to get somebody's attention and get a hold of their heart. Bible study, Sunday school is what we really need to become stronger Christians. Amen? But the first church had Bible study. The first church also had prayer and worship time. Understand this. We come in, now listen. Choir got to singing tonight. It was great. Heather doing a good job singing. It was great. But if we ain't careful, folks, we just sit there. And God's been so good to us. The Bible talks about it in verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, breaking the bread and in prayers in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let me ask you a question. When is your prayer time? When is your prayer time? You ought to have a certain time. You know, I don't know, maybe when you get up in the mornings, whatever, that you have a certain time that you pray. And that is set aside for nothing else. That's not set aside for YouTube or TV or ESPN. That's set aside for prayer time. And you get in touch with God. When's the last time you really worshiped? God's been good to us. And you guys that was at Freedom's going to know what I'm getting ready to talk about. Preacher Buddy was preaching Friday night. And he talked about it, and he didn't say what it was, Brother Robert. He just said there was a prayer that he had a need. And he had prayed about it for weeks and weeks and weeks and agonized with God and prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God to touch it and asked God, and other people were praying too. And he said when he got that phone call, he was outside of a business or he got out of his car, got that phone call, and the Lord had answered that prayer like he thought he was, like he wanted him to. Said he hung the phone up and said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And said he got to walking off. Says like God spoke to him, is that all you got? After you agonized and prayed and you cried on the altar, is that all you got from me after I show up and answer your prayer? Preacher Buddy said there was a glass wall there. He said he didn't know who was on the inside of the building. Said, but he fell down on his knees right out in front of that building, raised both hands, said, cried out, Lord, Lord, I love, thank you for answering that prayer. When's the last time you came to God's house and you just worshiped God for answering the prayers? When's the last time you came to God's house and you just worshiped him for answering the prayers, for touching your children when they were sick, for touching your mama and daddy when they were sick, for having his hand on you when you were going through a hard time, and he shows up, and all we come to God's house, and all we can do is say thank you. Folks, sometimes it ought to get bigger than you. Amen. Sometimes, like the one old preacher said, you ought to get the can't help it. When you can't help but stand up and raise your hand. You can't help but just yell out, thank you, Lord. You can't help but just praise the Lord and honor God. The first church. Imagine, I just don't know. Brother Tony, I was thinking about when I was studying this thing today. I wonder what Peter did when 3,000 people got saved. You thought the day of Pentecost was something. You thought they was loud in that upper room. Imagine when 3,000 of them get to joining in. Folks, let me tell you something. I was raised in a time where people shouted. I was raised in a time where people, I mean, they didn't mind getting loud, amen. Let me tell you, they weren't very educated, but praise God, they was plugged into God, amen. The problem with most of us, hey, I'll explain it to you, like preacher Jack Lasseter used to say about Uncle Chris, Chris's Uncle Leonard. He said that Leonard prays in 220, everybody else prays in 110. The problem with the church today is we come and worship in 110. The old church used to worship in 220, glory to God. They come in, they get plugged in whether you had the right one singing or not. They get plugged in whether their favorite preacher was preaching or not. You open up a King James Bible, glory to God, and they're going to get plugged in. You get to talking about Jesus, they get to crying. You get to talking about Jesus, they raise their hand. You get to preaching about Jesus, somebody get up and take off running, all the hair going everywhere, glory to God. Let me tell you something. I was raised in that kind of a church. Scare most of us to death today. It'd be good for some of us to get in a service like that every once in a while. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of us, some of the younger crowd ain't got a clue. You know why the younger crowd ain't got a clue? Older folks, it's our fault. It's our fault. But the first church worshiped. They didn't play around with it. They worship, glory to God. The first church also had fellowship, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Bible study can be fellowship, amen. Hey, have a Bible study. Have a small group Bible study. Fix a snack. Sit around, talk about the Lord. Pray some and read the Bible. That can be fellowship. Hey, Our Lady's Auxiliary is fellowship. If somebody don't step up, it's going to all be gone in the past. Our Master's Men is fellowship. If we don't step up, men, hey, it's going to be a thing in the past. Somebody somebody will talk about one day, Brother Robert, how we used to have master's men and how we used to have ladies auxiliary, but nobody wanted it anymore, and nobody stood up, and nobody came anymore. I'm telling you, folks, the first church had fellowship. Our senior saints, we meet, but so if something don't happen, all that's going to be gone in the past. They need fellowship. That's how a church grows. I'll never forget Preacher Ray Cribb told me one time. He said the best way to grow a church, he says, with a pot of grits and a pan of biscuits. Fellowship. Fellowship. When me and Talbert sat down across from a meal, and me and Talbert can sit there and talk about each other, and I tell Talbert all the things that's going on in my life, and I know the things that's going on in Talbert's life, and he's praying for me, and I'm praying for him, you know what? We just got closer. That's what fellowship does. Kind of worries me sometimes. We'll have a church-wide meal, and we'll have half the people stay. Do we want our church to grow or not? Do we want our church to have the power of God or not? The first church had love. Verse 44, and they all believed and were together and had all things common. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to tell you right, people were going stronger. People were getting stronger. They were getting more, they were getting closer to God, and they were getting closer to each other. They had love. They went out and won the lost world. They invited people to church. I told some, let me tell you something. You will reach more people than I ever will. My job as pastor, is my job is to visit the sick, go to the hospitals, take care of those that's in need, visit our shut-ins. Do that. I don't come in contact with people like you do. But you ought to, when you come in contact with people, you ought to be excited. You ought to tell, man, let me invite you to church. Let me tell you what's going on at our church. We got a loving church. You come to church with me, I guarantee you somebody will love on you. Somebody will be there for you. You got to get excited. You got to love your lost family enough to call them on the phone and invite them to church and get on them and get on them and get on them and get on them till they come. Amen. The first church loved people. And they proved it. They went out and did what they were supposed to do. You know why you in church today? Because somebody loved on you. Amen. David brings it up a lot. I bring it up a lot. Tony and Nancy are sitting in church tonight because their daughter got coming to the youth at this church. And she got loved on. And she got her mom and daddy to come. And they got loved on. And glory to God, God did the rest. That's all we got to do, folks. Just love on people. Let them know you care about them. Let them know you want to see them in heaven. Amen? And let God do the rest. The first church also had power with God. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and of breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I got to think about it as I was studying, and listen, I know we've had God answer prayers at this church. Brother Melvin and me were talking about how many prayers, how many times God has showed up on this altar from that wall to that wall and answered prayers. He touched my body like Heather was talking about. He touched my body. Hey, glory to God. He gonna do it again. Amen. He's touched Melvin before. He's answered prayers for Robin and Angie before. He's answered prayers for Tony and Nancy before. Right here on this altar, they had signs and wonders. Hey, just a few weeks ago, Benji's sister Heather was laying in a hospital, couldn't move, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything, there wasn't nothing else they could do. And then we got the church got in prayer, and we saw God do a sign and a wonder that doctors ain't got no idea what happened, but she's up walking around and talking now. Amen. That's my God. Signs and wonders ain't over. Somebody says, I don't know if God still heals. Look up at me real good. I'm a witness right now that God still heals. Amen. God's still on the throne. You got a need, you can put it in his hands. Acts chapter 3, we find Peter and John going to the temple at the beautiful gate. There's a man there that can't walk, ain't never walked. They carried him every day to the gate. And Peter looks down there and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And guess what? They saw a sign and wonder right there. The man got up and walked. You go on through Acts, the death of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Saul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. Annas is healed of palsy in Acts chapter 9. Dorcas is raised from the dead in Acts chapter 9. Peter is rescued from prison in Acts chapter 12. God killed Herod in Acts chapter 12. The sorcerer is blinded in Acts chapter 13. A crippled is healed in Acts chapter 14. Demons is cast out in Acts chapter 16. The doors of the jail are shook open in Acts chapter 16. Eutychus is raised from the dead in Acts chapter 20. Paul gets bit by a snake in Acts chapter 28, and Paul just shakes him off in the fire. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the first church had. And we can have it too. Whew. If you missed that service a few Wednesday nights ago, when I was preaching on angels, you need to go back and watch it. Sharon, help me out. Artery cut, right? For 4 days. And she's sitting here looking at me right now. How you going to explain that? But God. But God. Ain't no other way to explain it. How can you explain Heather up at that hospital for days not moving? I mean, brain season, and they got her on medication, and now she's home, glory to God. Explain that to me. If you can, go ahead. I know you can't, so that's why I'm asking. That's the signs and wonders that you and I'm telling you, folks, that's the power of God. When the church and when we get in line, Brother Donald, and one mind and one accord, there ain't nothing that can stop the church. Jesus said the gates of hell can't even prevail against us. It's time that the church go back on offense. It's time that the church quit being on defense and say, hey, we're taking it back. We're taking back our lost family. We're taking back all the things that the devil's took from us. Amen. Signs and wonders they had. In verse 47, the Bible says they had favor with all people. Think about that. We need more favor with the lost eye and world. Used to, let me tell you something. Let me give you a history lesson. Used to, 30, 40, 50 years ago, if you applied for a loan at the bank, they didn't worry about calling your employer. You know who they called? They called your pastor. They called your preacher to find out what kind of church member you was. Because if you was the right kind of church member, they didn't have to worry about you paying back that loan. They had favor, Brother Robert, with all people. Give you a quick little story here just to show you how my God works. Miss Geraldine's going to remember this good. 2002, we got to thinking, and Brother Robert and Miss Angie, y'all remember, we got to think, we need a church. We was meeting in that little building, brick building up there. We was packing it out. We got saying, we need a church. So some of our guys got a building committee, got together. They come up with a plan. They come up with some plans. We got somebody to draw them up. We go to the bank. And the bank tells us, you ain't got enough units to borrow this money. That's right. That's right. Units is tithers. You ain't got nowhere near enough people to borrow the money to build a church that you wanting to build. Yeah. See, you need more doctors and lawyers, what they said. Said, bless God, no, we don't. All we need is Jesus. And that was 2002, Jason. And in 2003, guess what? We had the first service in this building right here, glory to God. That's what my God can do, amen. That's what happened. Hey, when you got God on your side, you got favor with everybody else, amen. I'd rather have the power of God. I'd rather have the favor of God on me and on our church than to have 1,500 doctors and lawyers. I'd rather have the favor of God than have billionaires in the church, amen. I'd rather have the favor of God because with the favor of God, you got everything else. Amen. Amen. That's what the first church had. And the first church was a growing church. Thank God. Thank God for what God's doing at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. I didn't come tonight to brag on people, and I'm not going to brag on people. But thank God somebody's inviting people. Amen. Thank God somebody's doing what God told them to do. And we're seeing God move in our church. We're getting ready to go into one of our most exciting times of the year for Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. We're getting ready to go into our Easter play. Let me tell you something. If you're here right now and you want to be part of that Easter play, go ahead and sign up. Preacher, I'm not a member. You ain't got to be a member of Liberty to be a part of that Easter play. This is the most exciting time of the year for our church. This Easter play is better for our church, Brian, than most revivals are. It brings our church together. It makes us love each other. We have more fellowship in this coming time of the year, in the next couple of months, and we see God move in a special way. The first church was a growing church. I'm expecting God to do things this year in that Easter play to fill up all the rest of these empty pews. Amen. I said, preacher, you crazy. Y'all already know that. You voted me in. That's your fault. Preacher, you crazy. Let me tell you something. If Peter can get up and preach, Brother Tommy, and 3,000 souls get saved, then we can put on an Easter play and get about 50 to 60 saved. Amen. Amen. And what can God do if you and I make up our minds that we're going to be like that first church and we're not going to let nothing stop us. Amen. We want to close out the service. Let's just come gather around the altar right now.